Well, welcome to the situation report for Monday, April 8th, 2024. The zombie apocalypse was upon us and then left. Damn it. I was hoping for that alien invasion today. I was really hoping for it, looking for it, scanning the skies for those UFOs. And it turned out to be a big nothing burger. I was a little Tommy Dorsey, that song of India. That's been around for a very, very long time. And if you've listened to me for a while, you would have heard Big Band. When I first started doing sit reps, I would play Big Band and start my shows off with something from back in the 40s. And I am a big Glenn Miller fan, Tommy Dorsey. There's a ton of artists back then with some great catalogs. And it's just a testament to the time period. Lots going on today. So I was on Ron Pertain's show today with, I was on with a panel, and it proved out to be what happens when you put too many alphas on the stage. It turned into a quite the love fest, and it was interesting show. I forget that there's still a lot of folks out there that are watching the situation and think that there's a white hat presence. If you've listened to me for a while, you know I don't buy into that storyline. And part of it is, I don't buy into the storyline that there's these people in the background that have this organized plan to restore everything and we don't have to do anything. I don't buy into that. That's not how things happen, especially in the government. That's not how things happen. The way things happen in the government is things just fall apart or they work. There's no in between. And I'm sure there's some good people in the background that are working against what's going on. But what we're really watching is a coordinated effort by nation states, by oligarchs, and by people at the very, very top of the food chain that are arguing about who's going to be in control. And the way I see it is there's a group that are not invited to the table and don't have a seat at the table that are fighting to preserve their way of life. That doesn't mean they're good guys. Doesn't mean they're white hats. Doesn't mean that they're in this for us. It means that they're in it to preserve their way of life. And that's a very different proposition from good guys in the background. I think the term good guy in this situation is a very convoluted definition, especially given where we are. And there's a lot of narratives out there that I just don't buy into. And Rob Campbell talked about Derek Johnson, not a fan. And there were several references to the Q stuff and some of the stuff going in the background. Rob was right about one thing, which I did give him a lot of credit for. There is something going on in the background. There are people working against what's going on. And, you know, you when you're in those situations, you have a choice, right? Do you blow up the room or do you bring everybody back to topic? And I brought everybody back to topic because it just seemed like that was a better way to go today than going down that road of blowing up the room. And I'll tell you, to be perfectly honest, I got to give Ron a lot of credit for keeping a professional face today, because those situations can go sideways very, very quick. And it's a testament to the fact that he was able to keep that rolling. So my hat's off to him. And it was a good opportunity. So I'll probably, hopefully we'll do more shows together. Definitely going to do that. So a couple other things too, admin notes wise. So last week I had on Longshot on the show, and he's a retired firefighter. This is not his forte of doing these shows, right? So if you listen to me when I first started this, it was an evolution over 3-4 years to get to where I'm at now, to be able to do these shows and and stay organized and stay on topic, and especially when you get other people on the show. So my ask of this audience is, when I bring people on the show, give them four or five shows to come up to speed, because I'm reaching outside of the influencer market to find people with skill sets to bring on the show that actually have skills. And one of the things I haven't had a chance to ask Longshot about is, how do you connect with the fire department? How do you connect with them? How do you support them? What is a good resource that you could tap into there? And how do you do that? Because most of us don't do that, right? We don't ask those questions. I didn't get a chance to ask him that on the last roundtable because we were going, in different directions. So, and we're going to have some other new folks come on, and I'm trying to mix it up so it's not just military guys, right? And I think there's a lot of value in having a diverse skill set on the roundtable. And here's the other thing to keep in mind. We're not talking about things the way we want them to be or the way they should be. We're talking about the way we see it and the way it is. There's the what we want and there's the what so. And right now, the what so is very confusing for a lot of people. So it may seem like we're repetitive, but we're repetitive because every show I'm seeing more and more new people show up to the show. So that's part of the reason why we're diversifying the group. The other piece of that too is that somebody asked me about Bracken. Matt's working on his book, and I'm giving him all the latitude that I can and not bug the guy and say, hey, are you going to be on the show? Are you going to be on the show? I would rather him finish the book, because I'm also getting people asking me when his next book's coming out. So there's a lot of pieces to this. And by the way, I've been moving around all day, so I haven't got anything set up in here. That's why I'm not on camera. It's another tech day, which I'm kind of surprised that tech didn't go down today too. So, but let's get to the narratives that are out there today, because there's a number of them. And there's a number of rabbit holes that you can go down, especially right now. So all hype about today was around, everyone's convinced there was going to be some kind of a covert attack or some kind of an overt attack. And it did materialize. In fact, it was a lot to do about nothing. Have you given consideration to the fact that maybe with all the talk and with all of the energy put into trying to, war game out how this was going to go, maybe we disrupted their plans by doing that? At this point in history, we literally are talking about things as they're developing. There's been no other time in our history where we've had the ability to almost nearly real time talk about things as they're happening. We usually are 2 to 3 weeks behind an event, and we're trying to analyze the event. Here, we're literally able to talk about things that occur almost instantaneously, unheard of in our entire history, which is why I think we're seeing so many different things not happen and so many scenarios play out with no result, because we're able to disrupt their operations. Remember, we're in an information war. We're not in a kinetic war. Eventually, this will go kinetic. As systems fail, as things fail, it will go kinetic. But by the same token, we're disrupting their operations, whether we realize it or not. And at the same time, and two things can be true at once. They can be evaluating the conversation using AI and using AI to learn and teaching the AI through all of this dialogue and all of the social media. But they can also be evaluating us to see what we're doing at the same time and setting up these scenarios as dry runs. All those things can be true at once. But the part that's disruptive even to AI is the fact that we're able to discuss this and break it down in real time. That in our history is brand new. And I think that there's a reason why all this is happening and all of this conversation's going on. And whether you believe it or not, we are disrupting their operations on a regular basis, whether that's through disclosures, whether that's through dialogue, or whether that's through doxing different players and different actors, that's literally having an impact on their operations, which means they're still having to pivot. As long as we can keep them pivoting, as long as we can, you know, keep eyes on, especially all the foreign nationals coming in. So I was asked a question, and here's the problem with doing the show so much. You talk about so many different topics, it's hard to keep and collate all the stuff you talk about because we go in a lot of directions on the roundtable. And a lot of the stuff that we're talking through can be overcome by events. Some of it can be overcome by situations that we didn't foresee or didn't anticipate. Anyway, I was asked several questions today about previous shows, and I'm having to reach back and go, yeah, we did talk about this. What were we talking about? And there's a lot of conversation around how we think things are going to develop. So, and by the way, if you watched the show today, what you saw was, you know, a group of alphas, you know, having the normal conflict. That's how that game's played. I'm surprised it hasn't happened on the roundtable. I mean, it quasi happens every so often, but, you know, get passionate people in a room and you're going to have clashes. That's how the game, that's how it goes. It's just unfortunate, but that's how it goes. So I think, though, that some of the narratives that I heard this today and some of the things that are, I don't want to say we're going to have to unwind, but some of this we're going to have to unwind is there's this prevailing wisdom that Trump's going to come back. I don't see a pathway for that to happen. As much as I would love to say that he's coming back, I don't see a pathway to do it, because all I see is the swing states and the legislatures and all of these swing states institutionalizing cheating. 42 out of 50 states don't have voter ID laws. What does that tell you? 42 states, you don't even have to show an ID. Think about how much ID you have to show when you buy a house or when you buy a firearm. And we're going to vote to decide on the leaders of the free world, and we don't have to show ID. And that's been institutionalized over the last 10 to 15 to 20 years. In some states like Washington State, that's been going on for years. They've been voting by mail for literally years, which you would think would be a thing, but not so much. Instead, it's institutionalized. And that's the part that we're not paying attention to. Because they're institutionalizing cheating here in Arizona. And I'll give you a case in point. So they cheated through the voter rolls. They're cheating through party selection. They're cheating through multiple votes for the same person. And they're cheating through the machines. The piece that's relevant for most of us is when we go to show up to vote. They've changed the precinct system here in Arizona to a polling station, which should sound vaguely familiar to communist China and to the Soviet Union, polling stations. You can go into any polling station in Arizona. And again, this was voted in while Karen Fann was in office. This was voted in while the Republicans in Arizona had the majority and Katie Hobbs was still Secretary of State. So keep that in mind, because that's very important to the rest of this conversation. They voted in polling stations. So now you can go anywhere and vote. No ID required. What could possibly go wrong? And when you have all those attack vectors to cheat, and it's institutionalized with no recourse, you have the fundamental recipe for them to continue to steal every election. In Washington State, there hasn't been a Republican governor for almost 25 years. And the cheating's so pervasive in Washington, now they publish your party affiliation on the outside of the envelope. So they can basically toss the Republican votes right into the trash. And the only reason they can't cheat on the eastern side of the state is because it's overwhelmingly conservative. We need in total to get rid of the entire two-party voting system and dismantle all of the stupid voting laws across this country. But the system as it's set up today will not allow Trump to come back. If you go back to 2020, I've had this conversation 1,000 times, but it bears repeating. 2020 was not about the presidential race. It was about the down ballot. They wanted to control the swing states and turn swing states blue. Warnock, Mark Kelly, neither one of those shrubs won their election. In fact, nobody in this state likes Mark Kelly. He's a shrub. And he somehow won the down ballot. Nobody paid attention to the down ballot because they used the Trump steal as the focal point for the entire election. Nobody paid attention to the fact that they stole every single one of the swing states and took the majority in the Senate. That was the real plan. Because they can change the Constitution if they have a supermajority in the Senate. And what is Mike Johnson doing right now in the House? He's slowly but surely working with the rhinos to erode the majority in the Senate or in the House so that the Democrats control the Senate and the House once again. And you know what they're going to do? As soon as they get control, they're going to change the Constitution. That's been the game all along, because it's one thing to steal the down ballot and the presidency. It's another thing to change the Constitution. And that's the end state they've been trying to reach. All this theater around which majority is in the House and who's the Speaker of the House, it's all a bunch of noise. It's all nonsense. They're all owned by somebody. In fact, somebody said to me today that MTG is the only true patriot. Yeah, sure. It's hard to be a patriot when you're pointing your ankles at the ceiling, buck naked, and Kevin McCarthy's on top of you. Give me a break. She's just as controlled as the rest of them. You don't go to D.C. and change the system. You go to D.C. and become the system. And that's the situation we're in. So that system in total has to fail and be dismantled from the ground up. There is no more. We're going to reform the system internally. We have to. The system has to burn to the ground, and we have to rebuild it with people that actually understand what self-service means. That's why I've been saying for almost 2 years now, since the 2022 election, there's no more trying to solve this through the courts or through voting. We're not voting our way out of this, and the courts aren't going to, they're not going to rule in our favor. I know you got Patrick Byrne and Jovan Pulitzer out there talking about how there's court cases still active. Name one court case that was decisive that ruled in the favor of the candidate. Zero. And maybe I'm overstating that, but I don't really care. Because the point boils down to this. It boils down to the fact that as long as they control the courts, as long as they control the counting, as long as they can institutionalize the cheating, there is no way Trump is coming back. I don't care how many different ways you say it. That's the truth. And they're not going to allow another election to happen if they think that Trump could potentially swing public favor against them. They are going to do something to disrupt the election or to instill martial law. Jury's out on Eli Crane. I have mixed emotions about it. In fact, look, let me just say this out loud so I'm just getting it off my chest. I don't trust any politician. I don't care who they are. Everything I've seen in Arizona for the past 4 years has soiled any kind of a positive look on any of these politicians. I've had politicians lie to my face here in Arizona about what they're doing. Oh, this is going to happen, Colonel. This is going to happen. We know exactly where to try this case. It's going to be a slam dunk. Yeah. I stood in front of Karen Fan when Sonny Borelli did his signature matching press conference Washington pundit was sitting right in front of me. Or sorry, the Gateway pundit was sitting right in front of me. And one thing struck me as odd, after the briefing, Karen Fan was outside and I said, it takes a lot of balls for you to be here right now. And at the end of the day, I'll give you credit where credit's due, but you're still going to be accountable for all the decisions you made before this moment. You could have fixed this on your watch and you should have. That was my interaction with her. And then when she left office, she made this nice, courteous phone call to one of the guys on my team and said, I'm leaving politics. Basically, leave me the fuck alone. And my answer is, go fuck yourself. This is not going to end, bitch, until you go to prison for fucking treason. I don't give a shit if you're in politics or out of politics. There's no statute of limitations on treason. And you committed treason when you unilaterally killed the audit. All of these people, all of them that were complicit in what happened in 2020 and 2016 and 2012 are all going to go to prison before this is over. No ifs, no ands, no buts about it. And that's why I say, given all the malfeasance that led us here, I don't see a pathway for Trump to come back. I just don't. Call me pessimistic, but that's fine. Cynical, definitely. I just don't see a pathway for it to happen. And I don't see anybody in the system that has the balls to do the work necessary to clean up DC. It would take a million arrests. I don't see anybody signing up for that, not in DC. FBI is compromised. CIA is compromised. Judiciary compromised. DOJ compromised. Military, what a joke. Who's going to do the cleanup? There's too many aspects of this that don't add up to something happening before the system fails. So I would rather usher along a system failure and reset the system. And while I'm on the topic, we don't need any more backroom dope deals between a bunch of rich assholes to decide the fate of the country. This time, the fucking bankers are not going to be the ones calling the shots. It's going to be average Americans who have to live with their consequences and their horse shit that are going to be in the room when the decisions are made and how this is going to be rebuilt. We are never again going to hand off to a bunch of rich, arrogant fucks our future, because that's what led us here. And if you think I'm kidding, go back in history. Go back to 1912, 1913, Jekyll Island. A bunch of rich assholes decided the fate of this country in one room. In my mind, the way that should happen now is if that ever happens again, there's a fucking JDAM on their head. There should never again be any backroom deals, any rich handshakes, none of that shit. Everything's out in the open and the public gets a chance to actually not only comment on it, but vote on it. Especially when it comes to changing the Constitution. We have a body, and again, everything we're seeing is so reminiscent of the Roman Empire before it collapsed. It's almost eerie. Because you have a group of people in Washington, D.C. that are so drunk with power, they literally are voting to exonerate themselves of any kind of responsibility. It's retarded. That to me says we've hit the absolute rock bottom in this country. And every time I hear these conversations and I'm involved in these conversations where we're talking about there's these magic white hats in the background. Yeah, there's things going on in the background. But you can make the case either way that it's enemy action or it's friendly action. The truth of the matter is we don't know. It's like the conversation I have repeatedly, because I get this conversation all the time, about Monkey Works. He's following airplanes. Yeah, he's doing analysis on what kind of airplane it is, what its mission is. But he doesn't know if there's good guys or bad guys in that airplane. And you can make the case both ways. Either this is a good guy in this airplane or a bad guy. We don't know. We have no idea who's behind the controls and what the mission set is. We just know source and destination. That is not a military operation or solid intel of anything. It's an indicator. And indicators have to add up for there to be an assumption. And the other part of this is, and look, I'm not busting anybody here. I'm stating my opinion. This is strictly my opinion. And I don't just like this conversation about military tribunals. I'll believe that shit when it's public knowledge and it's being broadcast and the major networks are forced to broadcast tribunals of people that need to go to prison for treason. Then I'll believe it. Until then, it's a bunch of horse shit. Yeah, we put a bunch of money into Gitmo. There might have been, and this is the part that people forget. Just because you have plans doesn't mean those plans are going to turn into reality and operations. You have to assume that if there's going to be a plan like that, especially when you're talking about big players, that there's going to be some coverage of those big players getting perp walked and then tried and then hung somewhere. That should be a very public event. There would be no reason whatsoever for there to be a military tribunal of somebody like the Clintons and the world not needing to know about it. That is absolutely something the world should know about. And trust me, there would be a lot of celebration if those two shitbags were actually tried and convicted of something. Talk about people that have a body count. My God, those two shitbags. They put the G in grift. Wow. And then the other part of that is just because you have the infrastructure in place doesn't mean it's going to happen right now. They could have been thinking 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road. Who knows, right? Again, two things can be true at once, and you could make the case for enemy and for friendly operations. You can't just assume it's one or the other. And given the fact that everything we see is gaslighting, I would assume that everything you see is absolute horseshit until it's proven true. And this is the part that kills me about the Derek Johnsons in the world, is that this guy's running around talking about militias. There's what, almost 500 people watching this? Has fucking any of you seen or heard about a militia in your area? I've heard about them, but they're not running around. They're keeping very, very quiet. The ones I know about are extremely quiet. And I don't even know where they operate. So don't you think if that was true, there'd be some video, there'd be some groups coming forward? And then don't you think that the FBI would be all over that? I mean, come on. It's just, to me, it's just basic questions. And this is the other part that I have a hard time with, is everybody should be a bit cynical about what they're seeing right now. You should be questioning everyone, even me. You can question me all you want. Because if you can't question the source and ask simple questions like, where's the fucking evidence of that? Have you, like, it's like the UFO crowd. UFO crowd kills me because they put on all these unvetted, don't even source some of the people they put out there as experts. And then within like a week, they're debunked as complete bullshit artists. And they don't even do the due diligence to figure out, is this person true? Like, I remember Linda Moulton Howe did this show where she's talking about Alpha One and Bravo One, these two special forces guys that escorted the scientists down to this alien spacecraft under the Antarctic ice, and they lost the scientists. How the fuck does that happen? How do you lose a fucking scientist? Aren't you supposed to be right next to him? All right, we're on this alien ship. See you later. I mean, come on. If you're going to go do that and you're going to have that show, at least vet the people you're talking to. Vet out the storyline. I mean, and I'll give you another case in point. So my twin was all about watching the Gaia TV and Corey Good and David Wilcock. And he was bugging me to watch this stuff. So I literally came home from a commander's conference, and I'm sitting down, and he's just after his last surgery, and he's watching TV, and he's watching the show. And I sat down, and I literally just set my bags down, sat down on the couch, and I'm looking at the show, and I go, "What is this?" He goes, "This is the show I was telling you about, man. This guy's Corey Good. This guy's like been on alien spacecraft. Like, this guy's completely full of shit. And who is that nutsack that's interviewing him? That guy couldn't reach a point if there was a gun to his head. These two knuckleheads are the fate of our nation in space. We are fucked. I'm surprised we haven't been invaded already." It's just, oh my God. Anyway, it's just dumb. Oh yeah, yeah, Paul. Yeah, I got booty all right. Yeah, I sat and did an interview today. That was my excitement during the eclipse. Yeah, I wish it was exciting. I was waiting for that alien invasion, buddy. I'm telling you, I was waiting for it. Wanted it to happen. So, but the point is, with all the information that you're seeing right now, and look, this show that I'm talking about, this was like 2017, 2016, when all this was going on. Imagine how bad it is now with the level of BS and the level of gaslighting. All I'm saying is, look at everything with suspect eyes. Don't look at everything and say, take it at face value, because it's not. There's nothing at face value that's real. There's no source of truth anywhere in our environment. Not across this planet, not one place across this planet that's a source of truth. Take that in for a second. In addition to being able to discuss things and broadcast real time, we are literally in a place where there's no place on the planet where there is a source of truth that is impeccable and citing sources that can be fact-checked for real. Not one, not in any country on this planet. If there is, I would challenge all of you to tell me which one it is, because there's not one out there. And that is a huge deal, because we, for how many generations have we relied on mainstream media, CBS, ABC, NBC, to provide us with news every single day? How much of that news was crafted and contrived for the masses? I mean, you're finally seeing, in fact, I saw it this weekend on Telegram, you're finally seeing for the first time since the Gulf War that CNN was creating stories, literally sitting in a studio creating stories to support the war effort. You don't think that shit happened during the second Gulf War? You don't think it's happening now? You don't think that every one of our adversaries and every one of our allies is doing the same thing? That's 1991. Here we are in 2024. You don't think it's being generated with AI? The deep fakes right now are more dangerous than real news. And it's, even if you did see the real news, even if they did tell you the truth, how many of you would believe it? I'm telling you, this is why the system has to completely fail. And we have to reinstill a sense of selfless service across the planet. It can't just happen. It can't just happen here. This time when we reset, this time when we get to a place where things are stable, we have to instill civics, a sense of duty, and a sense of ownership in our government. You can't take it for granted anymore. That's what led us here, is we took it for granted. We assumed that the people we put in power, and we listened to what was being taught in schools, and they literally dumbed it down over 20, 30 years. When I went to college, it was all about critical thinking. Ask questions, trust nothing. Your government's lying to you. Literally, I had a poli-sci professor that literally sat for a whole hour and went through all of the lies of the 20th century. I mean, by the numbers. And this was a guy that was a flaming liberal, and he was talking about how FDR lied to the American public about Pearl Harbor and went through the numbers of why he thought that he lied to the American public. So there is a There is a mountain of things in our history that don't add up, and we've been taught not to even question them. Now is the time to question absolutely everything you hear and see. Everything. And then the other part of it is, look, when you're watching, like, if the curse for me is I watch shows and I see the narratives that they've spit out. I could go all the way back to 2012 and watch just go watch any of the Marvel movies. Go all the way back to the very first Iron Man. I think it was shot in 2007 or 2008, way before where we are now. And go and look at all the narratives that are laced into that. And then go look at the narratives that are laced into Captain America's Civil War and Captain America in general. All the narratives you're hearing now, they're all laced all the way back to 2007, 2008. Hollywood has been in the pocket of the intelligence agencies for generations. Nothing we're seeing is real. Nothing. I'm telling you, nothing's real. And why I'm saying all this is that today was a reminder to me that I go by exactly what I'm seeing. I don't go by what I think is happening, what I want to happen. I'm going by, this is what I'm seeing. I don't see white hats. I see good people interspersed throughout the system that are disrupting their operations. I see a dick waving contest at the very upper echelons of society. But I don't see anybody in the middle that's trying to reform or clean things up. That's why I don't buy into it. We are the ones that are going to have to clean this up. All of us. If you thought you were going to retire and just live a quiet life, never going to happen. You're going to be embroiled in trying to rebuild this country for the next 10 to 15 years, probably until you die. That's where we are. And I don't see a way out of it. I don't see somebody coming in to save the day. I look at the military and I see an abject mess. And I was asked about it today on Ron's show. And I'm like, yeah, the military's not ready to do anything. There's no readiness there. And this is the problem that most people don't think through. If you're going to go arrest 1 million people, who's going to do the door kicking? Most of our combat troops are in Poland or in the Pacific. They're not CONUS right now. Most of their equipment is with them, and most of that shit's not coming back. So who's going to kick the doors? You think, Sergeant Weirdo, the trans guy that's not deployable, is actually going to go and kick doors? I don't think so. Not going to happen. There's not a force to do it. So it's up to us. We have to band together and check our egos at the door. And until people are very uncomfortable, I don't see a pathway for that to happen. And most importantly, we don't have anything to rally behind. Everybody wants to be Patton. Everybody wants to be George Washington. But to be that, you have to be able to rally people from opposite ends of the spectrum. Even I can't do that. And I would love to be able to reach people on the far end of the other spectrum and get them to see the light of what's really happening here. Just like I'd like to see all these different demographics come together and realize that they're fighting the wrong people. They're going after the wrong things. The things that they're chasing down are not important. I mean, just think about it this way. If I could just reach out to people on the other end of the spectrum, just to get them to see what's going on with our food supply. I literally read over the weekend that by 2027, almost 40% of the food that's on the shelves is going to be made with some kind of insect flour. Just that fact alone should wake up the whole population that they're screwing around with the food supply. And you got a rational person would ask the question, why doesn't this drive you insane? Why does this not press your buttons? Why doesn't this drive you to the streets? Who gave them permission to fuck with the food supply? Who
gave them the authority to put food in the food supply that causes cancer in humans. No one asked the question. Not one fucking person asked the question. Think about how many processed foods you take for granted are healthy. And nobody's up in arms about that. My blood boiled when I read that. And everybody's like, eh, not a big deal. Love Steve Bugs. You can get crickets at the soccer stadium in Seattle. Really? That's your answer. That's they're taking away animal protein, which humans have eaten for over 5,000 years. And all of a sudden it's okay that that's bad. What the fuck is wrong with you? Are you fucking retarded? Because only a toothless redneck retard would think that's okay. But that's the problem right now, is that even when you want to get through, you can't get through to them. And until we get to a place where everybody is hearing what's going on and can see clearly of what's going on, nothing's going to change. I thought it would be when they stole the last election, and it was just a big sigh. And I think, regardless of how this goes, I think there's still going to be a preponderance of people that will support the jackbooted thugs. We saw most of them come out of the woodwork during COVID. They're just waiting for another opportunity to report their neighbors. There's always going to be that crowd. But I'm talking about the bulk of the population that figures out that they've been duped and lied to, first with the vaccine and now with the food supply. Because if you're at the lower end of the, you know, lower end of the economic scale, and you're teetering on the poverty level because of the price of food right now, and your kid starts getting this uncontrollable cancer because you're consuming food that's toxic to your body, at some point you're going to wake up and realize that there's something going on that's out of the ordinary. And that's the moment I'm waiting for, because that's the moment when the world will unite. I keep thinking that somebody's going to drop the doomsday tapes on the Epstein stuff, but I think that's just a controlled release to keep people distracted. I don't see that as a bigger picture or a bigger disclosure that's being, and I could be wrong. And, you know, I would hope I'm wrong. I hope there's somebody that's on the elite side that doesn't have a seat at the table that's ready to drop all the doomsday tapes and burn these people to the ground. That's what I'd really like to see. I mean, show me the video of Chuck Schumer, you know, having sex with a little boy. Trust me, I guarantee you that'll galvanize the public. Problem is, I haven't seen it yet. I figured I'd see it by now. I was convinced I would see it last June, last July. That's when I thought that disclosure was coming. But who knows? I might be surprised. I haven't been surprised yet, but I might be. Holding out hope. It's like I was hoping to see the alien invasion today. Hoping to see it. But you see the bigger picture, right? The bigger problem that we have as a society is that we don't have a catalyst to come together. It's because they've flooded the system with garbage, and everybody's trying to sort through the garbage to figure out what's real. And it's really hard to tell the signal these days from the noise, because there's a shitload of noise out there, to the point where sometimes I have to tune it out just so I can get my head straight and figure out what's real, what's not. And, you know, I get comments, I get videos, I get links, I get suggestions all week long, literally all week long. And I can't keep up with all. Let's just be perfectly honest. Can't keep up with all. So even I have to take a step back and go, okay, where's the signal in all this? And it's really hard to discern where the signal is with this much noise. And that's why I keep saying to be cynical, question everything. Assume it's BS and work your way back towards the truth. And typically when you do that, you see and you get corroborating information that will give you what the truth is. And it's usually somewhere in the middle. There's no black and white, a lot of gray. And, you know, that's part of the reason why I go after people with these very, very ardent religious beliefs that this is the way things are. No, it's not. It's not the way things are. There's too much gray. There's too much BS in the system. I'm not demoralized, Jay. I'm not demoralized at all. I'm just telling you, sometimes I have to take a step back so I can see what the signal is and get away from the noise, which is why I keep telling everybody to disconnect from technology long enough to reset and make a visceral connection with people. Because when you do that, it literally does a lot to break up the energy from all the noise you're seeing. So I'm not demoralized at all. Look, I'll just say it straight. We are going to win this fight. We are going to win this fight for a lot of different reasons, but we are going to win the fight. Their arrogance will be their undoing. And when that midway moment happens, where we've stolen the initiative and they'll be on the retreat from there on out, it will be very dangerous for everyone. But I'm not demoralized at all. I just have to step back and refocus. Sometimes you have to do that. You do a pause and reset. You do it all the time, you know, especially when you're in theater. You go out of the wire, you come back, you reset, and then you go back out. And I'm just in the reset phase right now. In fact, I'm just waiting for whatever the first event is. We've already had the first attack. That was the bridge attack. They had a failed second attack in New York this week, and they had a failed attack down in the south with the barge. So I'm just waiting for the next chain of attack. Oh yeah, and they've been spraying the shit out of every state. Somebody sent me pictures of New York today. It was just a crisscross of chemtrails. Yeah, those don't exist. Yeah, they don't exist. It was 60 degrees over the weekend in Arizona in April. That's unheard of. Usually it's 80 by now. 60 at night, 80 during the day, beautiful, sunny, no rain, and it pissed down rain last week. Yeah, chemtrails are a conspiracy theory. Get the fuck out of here. But you get my point. The bigger point is that you can't trust anything and you shouldn't be buying into anything completely, because this is a time, and I've said this before too, this is why I keep saying it, unity is the hill we die on. We have got to come together as a country. We have got to come together and put aside our differences and focus on what is most important right now, and that is taking back control of our country. All of these people that are in control are fucking psychopaths, all of them. I don't care who they are. These people are psychotic that are in DC that are playing the games they're playing right now. Absolutely psychotic. You cannot for one moment think these people have their faculties in place. Some of the rhetoric coming out of DC is reckless. Some of the actions coming out of DC are reckless. And they're all culpable in this, every single one of them. We have to wrestle back control of our country. And then we have to throw out all of these non-American foreigners that came here illegally. And then we need to kick the fucking Chinese out of here in total. Anybody affiliated with the CCP, you go home or you go to prison or you're executed for crimes against the U.S. It's called being a spy. Spies are executed. And we need to get back to doing those things to purge our society of these people. Because I'll tell you who's behind, you've heard me say this, the Chinese are the ones ultimately behind all of this shit. The warfare on our food, the warfare on our infrastructure, the warfare on our politics, the indoctrination in our schools, the fact that they infiltrated every part of our society, all Chinese driven, all CCP driven, all that needs to go, every bit of it. And more importantly, we need to take the fight to the enemy when we get them out of our country. We need to go fuck with them and put the Cujo Vulcan mind fuck on them for a couple of generations and see how they like it. And throw them the fuck out. 100% full stop. You go. You don't stay. Anyway. That's Rumble. I don't watch. I'm just watching the total for the show. People bounce in and out. People get kicked out. I was watching somebody's show the other day. I got kicked out like six times trying to get back into the show. it is what it is. So I wouldn't read too much into that. The point is, especially now moving forward, be cynical of everything. Question everything you see. Don't take anything at face value. Get two or three sources of information. Somebody asked me about where I get news. Revolver.news, Zero Hedge has some good things, lots of Substacks out there. And the stuff that I do see that I think is signal, I post to Telegram, or I'll post to X. But Revolver.news, those guys fact check everything. The Washington Pundit, those guys fact check everything, and they do yeoman's work to make sure what they're publishing is real. Tracy Beans is another one. She fact checks everything. She does a very, very good job on Light to Dark, bringing things together. Gateway Pundit's hit and miss, and I'll tell you why Gateway Pundit is hit and miss. They've had to retract a bunch of stuff because they didn't vet it out. Stuff you see in Washington Pundit that they publish, that stuff is fact checked. In fact, they don't let anything be published until they can fact check it. And that's why I'm religious about supporting them and giving them airtime, because everything they've published has been by the numbers and real. And that is very important right now. I would say of all the places that I watch on a regular basis, Revolver.news and Gateway Pundit are sources of truth. I'll go that far and say that, because everything I've seen from the crew at Washington Pundit has been spot on. Spot on. Like, I don't watch their chat on Telegram. I watch their site, and I watch their Telegram posts. And I've gone through several times and gone back and followed their links back to figure out who's who and who's doing what. And they're always leading to somebody that can prove the story. So that's my recommendations. As far as Substack goes, if I see Substacks, I'll start posting it to my Substack so you can reference off of that. Some of the stuff's paid, and that's the good thing about Revolver News. Revolver.news will pull from Substacks that they're paying for to push some of those stories to mainstream, so you don't have to pay for them, because you can pay for five or six Substacks and be at $100 a month. So that's the only downside of Patreon and Substacks, is that you have to pay for it. And that's part of the reason why we haven't put anything behind the paywall. So, okay, so coming up on an hour, I want to make sure I close this out in a timely manner, but a couple of admin notes for the next couple of weeks. So I'm closing on getting a website put up for my business, finally getting it sorted, because I've gone through like five web developers who are all flakes. And I finally have a crew that's going to do all the work and get it set up for me and get a storefront set up. Initially, I'll put the shirts out there for folks to buy. They're not drop shipping, so we'll consolidate orders, and then we'll do the one big order and then ship. And then once Troop gets Trooper Care Network set up, we'll move it over there, and it'll all come out of that and go to his nonprofit. For now, I'll just have to take the profits and throw it over to Troop as a donation, which is fine. So that's the first thing. The second thing is roundtables. Roundtables are an open invite. So sometimes folks are there, sometimes folks aren't there. I'm very fortunate to have the crew I do right now. I have a very, very diverse crew. I'm going to add to it. I have one new person to add this week. And former Special Forces, been talking to this guy for over 2 years. Really, really good guy. Really, really knowledgeable. Again, another history buff. So it's always a very, very intelligent conversation. I think you'll like them. But like I said, this isn't their forte. So give them four or five shows to get used to doing this and get used to the flow. Nobody's good at this right out of the gate. It's really, really hard. And like, you got to get past the point where you're worried about how things come across to everybody. You have to get to the place where you realize that no matter what you say, you're going to piss somebody off. And once you get past that point, then this becomes easier. So give these guys 4 and 5 shows and 4 or 5 roundtables to get caught up and to get into a flow. And with that, I'll be back on Wednesday. Put away the tech, go make a visceral connection. Lose the fear and be ready, use your stuff. And everything will start to move in the right direction. We're going to win this fight, folks. I don't care what you think, we're going to win this fight. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.